And we're back here with you on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Nathan Ruggles, joining you here today. I'd like to take a quick moment to recognize a couple of the organizations that underwrite our programming. That includes United Mine Workers, as well as the IBEW Local 5. Also, just a note as well, we are on Patreon now. You can head out to patreon.com/theunionedge. You can check us out there again, the patreon.com/theunionedge. So it's our pleasure to have online with us from Politico, Ted Hessen. Ted, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Nathan.
So we've reported a lot on DACA here on this program, talking about all the saga that is DACA and what's going on with these young immigrants. And you have a report here today about interesting turn of events coming from a federal judge out in California.
That's right. A federal judge in California ordered the Trump administration to turn over emails, letters, memos, and possibly even legal opinions related to the decision to end DACA. And why this is interesting is that if these are made public, it will really shed a lot of light into what the decision-making process was and how they came to that decision.
Now, so make sure to remind our listeners here, what is DACA? Who are these immigrants?
These are young people who came to the U.S. They're undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. at a young age. And through this program, it's essentially deportation relief. They're able to apply for work permits. And in the past, they were not priorities for removal for deportation. And the Trump administration actually moved to phase out the program in September. So gradually, really beginning in March or so, these permits are going to begin to expire in large numbers, and the program will eventually be phased out.
And they're also known as the Dreamers, right? I mean, these, in some cases, they were kids when they came here at a young age. They don't remember at all their country of origin. They consider the United States their home, right?
That's right. I mean, many of the people in this program, if they came from other countries, speak English and don't speak the language of their home country. Some have never visited. You're talking about people who grew up in the U.S., were schooled here, went through education, many of them higher education as well, and are now working here for the most part. And they've passed background checks, criminal background checks, and met all the benchmarks of the program. But potentially, now that it's being phased out, they could find themselves without a way to work legally in the future.
And we're talking millions, right, that are considered dreamers and have been under this program.
Within the program right now, there are currently around 690,000 people enrolled.
Okay. Right.
So there are, in the broader sense of young people who've come to the U.S. in a young age and grown up here, yeah, you're talking about millions, but who have actually been approved for the program and are still enrolled, the number is closer to 690,000.
Now, you mentioned that this decision here by this judge out of California is going to be significant in terms of it's affecting the conversation publicly around this issue and why the Trump administration made the decision. Tell us why this is so very significant.
I mean, the interesting part is that Trump took office and he didn't end this program right away. He had promised on the campaign trail that he would, but then he came into office and for months they allowed it to run as it had in the past. And in a way, some people took that as a tacit approval that maybe they thought the program was legal. So for him in September to then go and change his mind and decide to end it raised questions about what exactly led them to that decision. And I think people, you know, in this case, the plaintiffs would like to see the evidence that brought them to that. I mean, not only are they asking for the evidence for this decision, but they want to know, in the past, why did they decide to keep running it? So they want to see related emails and letters and perhaps legal advice that led them to keep running the program in the past.
Now, publicly, the administration has been saying that this is the agency, Department of Homeland Security, that is, it exceeded their authority or this was unconstitutional. I mean, that's what they've been saying publicly, right?
What the Department of Homeland Security, the conclusion they came to was that this would not be legally defensible. They were being pressured by the Attorney General of Texas and attorneys general from eight other states as well, who said they would have sued the administration over the program if they didn't end it. So in the face of that pressure, they decided it wouldn't hold up in court and that they had reached this legal opinion that it wasn't constitutional. So I think with that as the sort of underlying premise of why they're ending it, that's why the plaintiffs in this case out in California would like to see, well, what's that evidence? You know, what led them to reach that conclusion?
So kind of getting behind these, you know, these eight states have been putting pressure on the administration, but we really need to see, you know, what really went into this, right? What kind of things? What do you suspect may be coming out of this? Do you have any thoughts, or is there any ideas of what we might be seeing coming out?
I mean, there are several ongoing cases about ending the program. I think it's too early to say where any one of them will go. And the interesting part about this one is this judge in California is actually hearing, he issued this ruling in regards to five different lawsuits that are all people suing over this. And one of the cases is led by former DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano, who served during the Obama administration. And she's currently the president of the University of California university system out there. So it's interesting to see that she basically the program, DACA program, was created under her watch. She believes it's legal. She's been out there saying that. And now she's taking it to court and wants to make the case. And I think she thinks that if she can get these emails and letters and whatnot, that maybe there'll be some evidence there that will support her claim.
And what kind of deadline do they have to have these documents ready? And do you expect that they will meet the deadline?
I believe it's about a little more than a week or so. I have to double check that. But you know, it is a rather broad request, in my opinion. I mean, it depends how much research they did to prepare for this. I mean, they're asking for any information that informed acting DHS Secretary Elaine Duke's decision to end the program. So that could be quite a few emails. And they also want emails and documents from the people who may have advised her in the decision. So you're talking a whole other tier of people involved. And, of course, the department's appealing this decision, and they're hoping to have an appeals court halt the request so that they don't have to fill it. But it could be quite a bit of work to compile all of that.
We just have a little bit of time left here. How much do you expect that all this information coming out, how do you think this might affect the public dialogue around this issue? And will the administration be able to defend their decision as easily? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, the first question will be, will it come out, and will the administration have to provide these documents, and then what they decide to provide, and whether they're telling, and whether they do lend insight to this. And, you know, let's just say they do, and that they really give us insight into how they made the decision. I think it will raise that question of, if they found out in September or sometime slightly before then that this program was unconstitutional, then why were they running it for all those months beforehand, and what was their reasoning for running it beforehand, which I think is a valid question.
Yeah, well, why did they change their mind? Why did they change their mind, right?
I think that's right. I mean, I think they faced this pressure from a lawsuit, a total of nine states and their attorney generals leading it. And I think in the face of that pressure, they said they found that it was unconstitutional. But you'd have to imagine that your administration would have been evaluating that from day one if the president had said on the campaign trail that he wanted to end this program.
You would think so. Well, we do have to go, but thank you so much for bringing us this story, this latest information. Of course, we'll be looking to you guys to hear what happens once this information does come out. So thanks so much, Ted, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Ted Hessen there with Politico. You can read more about this story they have on DACA and much more at politico.com. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you today on the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio.